Alan, thanks for speaking with us today.
Great to be here, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Why did you write this book?
I wrote this book because at the end of my career, a reporter came up to me and he asked me, he said, Alan, you know, the title of the book is Walk On, Life from the End of the Bench. I played 59 minutes in 4 years. Didn't know what it was like to be the star. At the end of my career, a reporter came up to me and he asked me, he said, Alan, you hardly ever played, you hardly ever scored. Why would you do this and what kept you coming back? And I gave him an answer that I think satisfied him, but it didn't really satisfy me. And so I set out that day to begin outlining what today is Walk On, because I really wanted to flesh out just in my own mind, you know, why I wanted to be on that team so bad.
A walk on, of course, a college player who does so without a scholarship. I'm curious to know, you're aiming your message this week around Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools at kids. Is the book for kids or is it for everyone?
Yeah, it's really for everyone. The reading level goes anywhere from junior high all the way to, you know, I get emails sometimes from 65, 70-year-olds saying that somehow the book had touched them or hit a nerve with them. But the message is really to anyone who's been on a team. It's not just about sports. It's about life. And the things that I talk about are not just me, because I even tell kids, some of them probably don't want to sit on the end of the bench. But I talk about my teammates who have maybe been in the NBA. I talk about Chris Paul, who plays, you know, the rookie of the year in the NBA last year, who plays for the New Orleans Hornets, a great guard at Wake Forest, and about the different things that maybe he did for me. Maybe it was when he, you know, everybody thought he was going to go score 30 points against Georgia Tech, and he had just scored 30 points against Cincinnati and 30 points against University of North Carolina, and everybody thought Chris was going to go down to Georgia Tech and score all these points my senior year, and that's not what we needed out of him that night. He ended up scoring 2 points that night. And I'll never forget, at the end of the game, we're going to the locker room, and Chris Paul, we're all celebrating, and Chris Paul yells to the team. He says, I'll take 2 points and a win any day. And so I tell kids that story to ask them, do they just care who gets the credit? Are they able to get outside of their own heads and really think about their teammates and think about the betterment of their team?
Alan, the kids are used to knowing about the Chris Pauls and the LeBron James and the Kobe Bryants. What's it like? How do they react to you when they find out, A, you are a walk-on and your success isn't in that you walked on and were a star, but that you're satisfied with your success from the bench and you learned lessons from the bench? How do they receive you when they hear that message from somebody that they're maybe not used to paying a whole lot of attention to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like, you know, when I first start talking, I think I used some of those players that I got to play with to get their attention, to say, hey, I played with Chris Paul, I played with Josh Howard, who plays for the Dallas Mavericks. But I think that I'm able to relate to them because I'm vulnerable with them. Because I think deep down in those kids' hearts, I think they know that at different points in their lives, they feel like they're sitting on the bench too at some points. Maybe even as a star. Maybe sometimes you're going to have a bad game. Maybe they're at recess. And maybe they don't get picked to be in the game. Now, we all have those moments, and so I think that people relate to vulnerability and someone saying, hey, I'm not all that, and I think there's something refreshing to them, but yet I can still look at them and say, hey, it's worth it to be a part of something. It's worth it to put your hand in a huddle, to say the words 1, 2, 3 team.
So there's a lot of realism in your message then too.
Yeah, I'm honest with the kids, and you know, even the kids that I talk to today and I talk to tomorrow, I remind them that just like my coach who passed away 3 or 4 or 6 months ago, Coach Skip Prosser, he always used to gather us in a huddle and he would take a basketball and he would say, fellas, enjoy going to the gym, enjoy working hard, enjoy all there is to enjoy about the games that we love, because one day, no matter who you are, no matter how good of a career you have, one day the ball's going to stop bouncing. And he would always, I saw him do this 4 times with our team. He would take a basketball and he would drop it. It would bounce 4 times, and then I would watch it come to a rest. And so I used that same illustration with kids to remind them that, you know, one day the ball is going to stop bouncing. And there's a lot of kids and a lot of parents, which is even a bigger problem, that really think that they're just going to, their lives are going to depend on that kid, you know, making it to the NBA. And so they're left. And so when that dream is shattered, which I'm all about the dream, but there's just got to be some, there's got to be a backup plan. There's got to be something else that's driving that kid's life other than just basketball or any other sport.
athletes are looked upon very highly in our society as role models, and I think there's a debate whether or not they should be or not, but a lot of kids look up to them, and a lot of kids want to play in the NBA. Do you feel like this is a message that they need to hear, that and maybe they haven't heard before, this this dose of reality?
No question. I really think that one of the major pitfalls and sometimes in motivational speaking, or sometimes it's like we bring stars in front of kids alive. When I was little, we would always have guest speakers come that maybe had this, had accomplished something. Maybe they had won a trophy, maybe they had a gold medal. You know, it's this big accomplishment. And the only thing that I could see is that, wow, that's what I want to do. And what happens to the kids is they think they see these, they hear these speeches, these motivational speeches, and then maybe their lives, maybe they're not gifted, maybe they don't get to play. And, well, that doesn't mean that their life is a failure. And so I think that it's refreshing for them to hear a message of someone who worked really, really hard, but I never got carried off a field. I never had a heroic moment. And so I think it's important for them to hear that message and to know that, hey, you can still make something out of career, even if you don't get to play a lot. And I think one of the other things, Scott, that is a big deal in this is the issue with parents. And I'm not a parent. I don't know what it's like to be a parent, but I do know what it's like to be a son who was encouraged by my mother and father. And, you know, kids in junior high and high school, they're getting beat up enough at it, as it is, at the lunch table and different situations that they're in during the day. They need to be lifted up when they come home. And there's too many kids right now that stand at home plate, and they're scared of striking out, Scott. They're scared of striking out because not because they're worried they're going to let their teams down, but they're scared of striking out because they're worried they're going to let their father and mother down. And I think kids are being asked the wrong questions when they come home from games. They don't need to be asked, son, how many points did you score? They need to be asked, how did you make your team better today? And to have a more holistic approach to sports, that there's something more that matters than just their son or their daughter. There's the whole team. And so I think perspective in sports, or perspective in anything, you know, I think it starts with the parents.
Alan Williams, thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate it. It's great to be with you today, Scott. Thanks.